Hey, it's online editor Jeff Lagerquist here. In this edition of the Eye Opener podcast, we talk about the Eaton Center shooting. Kai went to punk rock bowling in Las Vegas, and we talk a shit ton about his comedy. We also go through social media. Moe's going to... where is it? Buffalo, that's right. And a few other things. I think we also make fun of Sean Wetzelaar. Eye Opener podcast number 14.
Welcome to the Eye Opener podcast.
In the window, Jim.
No, the first picture was something like they basically took a picture of like the crowd exiting,
yeah,
and you know, police cars arriving, and it was taken from the office window. Somebody was just like, "Oh boy, listen,
look at that!" Yeah. Oh, I love how Brett Laurie broke the news.
the guy from the Blue Jays. He just somehow caught up in all of it and was like, "Yeah."
But his tweets were weird. Like, he ended one with like, "Oh, people are being." Push up the escalators. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a baseball player. I mean, what's he? You know, Norman Mailer here. All right, recording from Lee Richardson's office once again. I'm Jeff Lagerquist, and with me, Mohammed Omar and Kai Benson.
Hello.
Hi.
So I thought I made it clear on the last podcast that we were going to do this regularly, and then that just didn't happen. So we're sorry for that, but please subscribe to us on iTunes. That would be really nice of you if you... don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, we were debating about...
You gotta come on stronger.
Yeah, it was a little...
See how I just cut off Muhammad there? You just have to come on so strong that it's like, bam, you're listening to our podcast, or I'll come there, I'll fucking...
Okay.
Strangle you.
Anyway.
Quiet, Muhammad, I'm being straightforward. All right,
big news tonight. You wanna get into it, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. One man dead and seven are injured after a shooting in the Eaton Center food court. That's pretty crazy. It's the second largest mall in all of Ontario. There must have been, like, thousands of people in there. I can't even imagine what that would be like. Shit was off the hook. Not to make light of the situation, obviously a man died, and there's a shooter still at large in our city.
Yeah, and we've been tweeting about it pretty much for the past 4 hours. If there's any Ryerson students who were at the Eaton Center at the time of the shooting, please contact us, and we'd love to get any information from you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's wouldn't be the... we're not going to like grill you like maniacs or anything. If you could just share your experience with us, it would be very much appreciated by our news team.
Well, I'm sure by the time this airs, we'll have some more information and possibly they'll have apprehended the guy. So you always have to think. Like, really all we can say right now is that there was 6 injured, 1 dead, and that he's still...
7.
Hmm?
7.
Seven injured.
Seven injured, one dead. Also, possibly a pregnant woman went into labor.
Right, I did see that. That's crazy.
Imagine being that kid, I mean, that gets delivered, and you can always tell people, hey, well, how was your first birthday? Well, you know.
Well, it might be premature, so...
Yeah, okay, there's that.
It's kind of the thing about going into labor when you're not supposed to.
Best of luck to the baby.
Yeah.
Good God.
I also read a tweet that said there was a married couple by City Hall who were forced to stay inside City Hall when the shooting happened, so they couldn't really do anything, and people that were evacuating from the mall went to City Hall and started cheering for them.
You mean a couple getting married?
They got married.
Yeah, you just said a married couple, so I'm like, two people just hanging out, married, having a nice day. But yeah, they were getting married at City Hall?
Apparently, or they had some kind of ceremony there.
Yeah,
but so a lot of people who were leaving the mall went there and started cheering for them.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, well. Yeah, you know what? They say all good couples have an interesting story about how they met or how they got married or something like that, so...
How'd you get married, Kai?
Remember how 3 people died that day?
Yeah, guys, it was totally romantic, you know, with all the massive police presence and ongoing investigations and... things of that nature. But
you had to expect that at my wedding, though, anyways. Company I keep and the horrible circumstance that would actually lead me to get married.
Someone's getting shot.
Yeah. Alcohol poisoning, at the very least.
But, yeah, this is crazy for just Ryerson students in general. I mean, I know classes aren't in session right now. If they were, there'd be, you know, probably many, many Ryerson students who eat lunch and shop between classes and visit the Eaton Center. I know I do from time to time. I'm not really a mall person, but...
Besides even shopping, a lot of students work there. Like, my roommate works at the Colonel's there, and he makes popcorn. He was working there yesterday. He was supposed to work today, but he canceled his shift.
Yeah, probably all of us know at least somebody who works at the Eden Center. I know our very own Sarah Del Giallo. She works at Sephora, which is way up at the top.
Did you talk to her today?
No. I'll probably see her later tonight, possibly. But apparently she left like 10 minutes before shit went down.
It was probably her.
Yeah.
She's a black male, right?
I oftentimes mistake her for a black male in his 20s.
Did they release any details about the suspect?
From what I'm seeing on Twitter, it's like all I could get was like black male, blue cap, white shoes.
Pretty distinct.
Oh yeah,
I think I saw one that said white clothes, but this is all like Twitter shit. So I mean, it for all I know, none of those facts are correct.
There were tons of rumors on Twitter today.
Yeah,
police are saying pretty tight-lipped about the whole thing. They're really not.
As they should.
It took them forever just to confirm that there was a shooting. Like I interviewed a woman who works at the Virgin Mobile in the Eaton Center, which was it's on the floor right above the cafeteria. And, you know, she's explaining to me that she heard 4 or 5 shots, but at that time the police hadn't even confirmed that there's a shooting, so really? I think they're going pretty slowly on this one.
Yeah, not much we can add about that, eh?
Yeah.
Seeing as we are not law enforcement individuals.
But no, it's been a big, 2 days for news, or good start to the month. Yesterday, Union Station flooded.
Yeah, I saw that, and that confused the shit out of me, because, I mean, it has rained like that before in Toronto. Wasn't, like, everybody made a big deal, like, oh, this rain, this was crazy, and, batting down the hatches and all this shit, but we've had rain like this before, and my guess with Union Station is there's
someone
a lot of construction. Yeah, somebody left the door open. One unlucky guy opened that door and was just met with a wall of water that washed down the stairs like a movie. But no, there's lots of construction on Front Street around Union Station, and I guarantee they probably have cut off the main sewer pipe and were using some sort of alternative drainage to accommodate construction.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
I was only out for a little bit, but I didn't even think it was raining that hard. Maybe I was just out during like an easier time of it, but like when I saw that happened, I figured there must be something else wrong with it. Like that couldn't have been just like regular rainfall.
It was really windy, so I thought it was some kind of storm, but it rained for maybe 4 hours straight, stopped for a couple of hours, and then continued for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's how they flooded.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm saying I agree with Jeff that like the storm drains were probably emptying into the subway for some reason or something like that. Like it wasn't just like the rain was just sort of seeping in off the street and filled it up that heavily. Like either it's the worst designed subway in the world or something was a little bit off.
There was like 2 feet of water down there and they said it like reeked like sewage and it was a bad situation. Like people on the subway platform had to be rescued and somebody...
I love how the internet...
They had to be rescued from 2 feet of water?
I think the water was rushing in, so they couldn't climb up the stairs, and the stairs were very slippery because it's a tile floor and it's wet, and I'm not exactly clear on the details, but maybe they were like old ladies or something. I have no idea.
Old ladies. Gotta let those ones drift away sometimes.
Funny when they fall down.
I love how the internet responded to it. The moment the photos came up online, people started photoshopping them and putting in sharks in the water.
And Rob Ford making the cannonball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was great. And I don't think that's an actual picture of Rob Ford. It must be someone's face.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow, Rob Ford has a huge set of man tits. Like,
well, he does.
Well,
you have to assume. It's just that's not a picture of him.
He probably keeps them concealed.
But we can't assume that Rob Ford loves swimming. Right?
What?
We can assume that Rob Ford likes swimming.
He does have a swimmer's build. I mean,
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this.
This conversation just went off the rails. The fuck are you talking?
Speaking of off the rails, Kai, you were in Vegas recently.
Yes?
Tell us of the rails in Vegas.
I did no rails in Vegas. I'm not into that, although it was offered several times.
Really?
Yeah, when you're in Rome.
Especially, okay, so I just went to Vegas for the 3-day punk rock bowling festival. Unfortunately, I didn't have a bowling team, so I was pretty much just there for shows. But yeah, there was a lot of people doing cocaine and puking on themselves because it's Vegas and it's punks. So that was interesting. I never actually went to the Strip. I was kind of in like North Vegas in a place called Fremont Street, which is still a whole bunch of casinos. Made a bunch of money playing poker. stayed up till at least 5 a.m. drinking every day, if not more like 10 or 11. My roommate didn't even go to bed the first night.
Do the bars even close in Vegas, or
no,
is that like just
not at all
night?
The convenience stores close for like a couple of hours, but the bars pretty much just go round the clock. And yeah, I don't know. I felt like shit for like 2 days afterwards. It was a whole lot of fun, but I don't really have that many specific stories.
Do you remember any specifics, or is it just...
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, crazy shit happened, and, you know, like, I got laid, and my roommate got laid, and fucking... Actually, he fucked some chick while I was in the room, but it was, like, so early, and I was so fucked up, and we were leaving the next day, that I, like, couldn't even... Like, I couldn't even get the energy to just leave the room. I'm just like, shut up.
They're just like, Kai's comatose or whatever.
I need sleep so badly, just shut the fuck up. But I was too fucking drunk / hungover / just tired from 5 days of destroying myself that I kind of just had to lay there and just be like, shut the fuck up, you motherfucker.
Who'd you go with?
I went with my roommate Caleb and a guy I know from Alberta, Nathan Jesus Tannehill.
Is that his actual name?
I saw somebody like a photo of you or something, and I saw that name and.
Oh yeah, within an hour of getting into our hotel room, we had given Nathan a nosebleed.
That was the picture.
Yeah. We turned on some punk song, and like just as a joke, we did like one of those 2 second mosh pits where you just kind of like hit each other. But like my buddy just jumped at us and like shouldered him, so we have a nice picture of me smiling and his nose bleeding, and yeah, we call him Jesus because he. He's a drinker, and he can turn alcohol into water. he went driving after he'd been drinking, which is something you shouldn't do, and he doesn't do anymore. This was years ago. But he got pulled over and actually blew a 0.00 on the breathalyzer.
He is Jesus.
After drinking, like, 9 beers. And I probably shouldn't have used his real name there. Sorry. Those two guys are fucking awesome, and we had a great time. And, yeah, it was just... Pretty fantastic time, especially since Vegas is such like a fake stupid place. Like if you're really impressed by flashing lights, you should go there. But if you've got half a brain, probably not. But the good thing I was there on this big festival, which means like most of the people there were you know, punks and shitheads and not that type of people pretty much. So we had a really great time.
So tell us more about the event. Like it's punk rock bowling, but
yeah, it's basically like an outdoor music festival. Big punk bands, like the three headliners on the three nights were NoFX, Rancid, and Pennywise. So
nice.
three of the really big ones. All of them were pretty good. Pennywise has a new singer that's like a bit different. But since it's like a single stage thing, like pretty much it would start at 3 p.m. every day. We probably wouldn't get there till like 6 or 7. So we'd miss like half the bands. But it was more about the partying afterwards. And it was just a really great time.
Did you do any like the cliche Vegas shit? Like you found the $1 buffet or...
No, but we did a whole lot of drinking on the streets, which is a Vegas thing.
You can take a roadie there, I've heard. Like, you can just, like, if you've got
beer
going, you could just pour it into a plastic cup and be on your way, and...
You don't need it in a plastic cup.
No.
We were walking around with fucking tall boys, you can walk into a bar with beer, you can walk any, like, you can just pretty much do whatever, you can smoke everywhere. I smoked so much, holy shit, I really shouldn't have done that, but fucking... Probably smoked like a pack a day, which is weird because I'm not actually a smoker.
You are now.
I am now.
American cigarettes.
But yeah, you can smoke anywhere. Fucking played a bunch of poker. Fucking drank in the streets a whole hell of a lot. I've got so little to show for it, but I had such a fun time.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I mean, I've never been to Vegas, but it sounds like the most absurd, ridiculous place in the world. Just crawling with
obese
Americans on scooters and... Just slot machines and...
Yeah, I really would like the laws of Vegas in a city like Toronto. Like, I'd love to be able to drink in the streets here and smoke wherever we want and fucking gamble if we want to gamble. But pretty much every other part of Vegas sucks ass. Like, who the fuck
cares? It's just
cares?
A shitty
who
city.
Who cares about
desert,
neon
I mean.
Lights everywhere and fucking souvenir shops and, like, fat Texans? Like... I don't like anything about Vegas except the laws, and in this case in particular, a lot of the people that were there.
Well, I think that's the whole point of Vegas. Like, it kind of got started by the mob, and they were like, let's just have a place where you can drink and fuck around and do whatever. We're just going to pick a place in the desert that nobody's heard of and make it this way. And there's really not much else in Vegas. Like, I don't think there's, like, a huge...
Well, no, there's a city to it as well, but, I mean, like, most of the industry in the city is casinos.
And, like, hotels, and it's related to, like, the conventions and shit that happen in hotels. And
yeah, pretty much. So, like, it's a fun place to be, but it's really fake and really stupid. And mostly, like, you have to make your own fun. Like I said, unless you're really impressed by flashing lights and slot machines, you're pretty much going to have to make your own fun. It's just easier to there because the laws are better, which is why I said I would prefer Vegas's laws in a better city.
We were talking about
like
this on the last podcast, we were talking about a red light district in Toronto. And I think that, you know, in some area of Toronto, we could have a place where open alcohol would be kind of okay. We were talking about it more with respect to prostitution, which I guess is kind of legal in Vegas. Like, you always hear about the Bunny Ranch and all this stuff where you can go and get a prostitute. Or...
Yeah, yeah. Legal prostitution is something I believe in. I don't really have any need for it. I'm not a hooker guy. What was I going to say? Anyways, it's gone now.
No. Anyways, let's talk about some boring shit that happened at Ryerson. I don't know why, because maybe we should...
What happened at Ryerson? Newspaper
and shit.
Enlighten me. All right, get ready for this, guys.
I just worked in this paper. Yep.
This is a super big deal,
so everybody fucking settle down. Right. Groundbreaking at the SLC.
Oh my god.
The groundbreaking ceremony. I was there. I don't know why. I really just didn't have anything to do that particular morning, but Sheldon Levy and Julia Henningsberg and Kristen Wong Tam, they stuck special shovels into some topsoil that is on the site of the SLC. And by special shovels, I mean they actually said Ryerson University. They had the date and the... I don't know why they're wasting
tuition dollars on special shovels. Special shovels with and Ryerson on it. Can I have one?
$80 worth of topsoil. Yeah, they'll be on eBay soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll just steal Sheldon's. I'll mug them for you.
I need a good shovel, but...
Give me your shovel.
They basically, you know, took a bunch of pitchers, they all stuck their shovels in, they lifted one shovel and said, okay, and then they went to some reception.
Oh my god, if I hear any more about this stupid building...
I feel like I've been talking about
before
this...
Before it's entirely built, I'm going to... See, I can't make any violent jokes today because there was just a shooting, so...
Yeah, it'll be like
every time I start a violent joke, I'm just like, I can't say that.
My deleted rape tweet from the eye-opener account that edited it right out of this
deleted
podcast.
Deleted rape tweet, there's a bad name.
Deleted rape tweet. Were they at Punk
this
Rock
is my,
Bowling?
My sketch improv group, deleted rape tweet.
But yeah, to all the new Ryerson students that are like just coming to the university now, I kind of want to yell at them and be like, you better fucking appreciate the SLC building because I had to like write about it and follow it and hear about it for all these years with it not being here, so they better go in inside this building and do something awesome because I'm sort of tired of it.
Think of the waves of journalism students who've been writing about the Image Arts building or the Maple Leaf Gardens building.
We're going to get to use these things for like 2 months.
Yeah, but and who cares?
I don't know.
I care.
I guess I care because I have to listen to it and follow it and write about it and...
Well, if I was an Image Arts student, I would care because it would mean an extra building for my program. And if I was, you know, an athlete, which I am in some sort of way, I mean...
I've seen you play basketball.
Thanks, man. Come on.
You're not an athlete.
Let's not talk about it.
You're not an athlete.
Anyway, sorry. We're going to take that out of the podcast.
he's the new online editor. I'm powerless to stop.
I'm deleting all your tweets.
Smack the table some more, guy. That's super awful. Anyways...
No, it was supposed to be a smack that people could hear, to hear my outrage against him. Don't you edit my smack and my... I'm the fun out here, goddammit.
For now.
For now. I'm going to get fired.
I heard a great story from Arts and Life and now news editor Sean Wetzelaar. He took his bound copy of The Eye Opener. I guess we all got... bound copies of the last year, and we're supposed to keep them. Yeah, I know that was news to me up till like a week ago. But he took his bound copy of The Eye Opener home, and I guess a family member was reading through it, And without looking at a single article that he wrote for the Arts and Life section, they would just go to the fun section and read Kai's horoscopes through the whole year. So, story of the eye-opener. See, we bust our balls and, you know, some shit Kai came up with, like, probably drunk at his computer in, like, half an hour is the most interesting content of the paper.
I was only drunk sometimes, and it was usually, like, 20 minutes. I'd be prouder, except I know how easy it is to beat Ryerson News in terms of how interesting something is. I mean, like, we have a good story every now and then, but, like, we really do have to face it. There's not a whole lot of, like, hook to Ryerson News, especially if you're not a Ryerson student, which I doubt this family member was.
Yeah. You know, I guess it's sort of our jobs to feign interest in Ryerson News, and... Nah, I can't imagine.
It definitely has its high points, but I wouldn't begrudge anybody.
Wetzelaar did good work. What can we say?
I hated his work.
I hated his work because ARP's top 10 like completely fucked over something I wrote.
Oh yeah, you got the only feature I ran that didn't have a centerfold and it really needed it.
Yeah, god fucking damn it, Wetzelaar.
That was
stupid.
One, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The feature I wrote for Kai was in the arts top 10, and I literally, like, spent, like, 20 hours with the OPP and these engineering students. And fucking arts top 10. I got bumped for some chick that painted something once.
We had a story about, like, robots that could save people from rubble, and, like, fucking crazy helicopter things that could, like, 3D map shit, and like, yeah, no, this girl who's really good at set design gets fucking sent.
Girl who's like,
fuck you, artist.
I like dancing, and I one time I danced when I was like 7, and people said I was good, so now I'm a dancer at Ryerson.
I'm sure they're all very talented.
I swear to God, so at least one of those
interviews
read like that.
You do go to Ryerson after all, the most prestigious art school of all time.
Oh, well, Wetzelaar, I'm just proud that I didn't drink the beer that I owed him in the fridge that sat there for like a month and a half.
Did he pick that up yet?
He said he did.
Thank God. Well, not really, because I wanted that beer.
There was probably like 5 times I was in this office and I thought about drinking it.
Was it Bud Light?
It was. No, we stole Bud Light, but I brought him James Reddy.
Oh.
It was
he actually requested this. I approached Wetzelaar and said, what sort of beer would you prefer? And he requested James Reddy, so maybe we're rubbing off.
Is he 19 yet? Are we allowed to...
Yeah, he's 19. No. He wasn't when he started.
No, he's 19. Come on.
He's totally... I'm pretty sure that he is 26 years old. You ever heard him answer the phone? Hello, Sean Wetzelaar.
He's so fucking professional.
He's so upbeat and positive.
Yeah.
Hi,
that's perfect.
Sean Wetzelaar.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Thanks so much for calling. Oh my God, if he was covering the shooting today. Hi, oh, so there was a shooting. Tell me more. He's used to dealing with dancers and, you know,
I'm sure he
actors.
Would, I'm sure he would put on a more somber tone. We can't assume that he's just always going to say just because no. That's all we've heard so far.
There's more to Sean Wetzelaar than meets the eye. Opener.
I will fight you.
Come on, fun editor, come on. That's not up to your standard.
No, it's not.
Kai's method for next year is he's going to be the fun editor, but remember you telling me that you're going to make everything really serious and very depressing.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Were you drunk, though?
Probably.
Do you want to elaborate a bit more on that
idea? Well, seeing as it's an idea that I just became aware of 2 seconds ago, yes, I'm going to make everything serious. I didn't come up with this, so I have no joke
you
here.
You did. Are you lying to me already?
Did I come up with that?
Yeah, you told me instead of being fun next
he's
year.
He's not beholden to the truth. He's the fun.
Oh, right. I was just going to make like an ironic section. Just make like the least fun section. No fun allowed. Just run obituaries every...
Oh, God.
It's a list of like Ryerson students who left the university for whatever reason.
Just calls them up.
Couldn't pay their tuition.
Weekly projections of who's going to drop out and develop a drug problem. I'm on there every time.
Where are they now?
Speaking of where are they now, where's Charles?
I don't know. Oh, wait.
He's not here. He made
Charlie
some...
Charlie boy, the pipes are
calling.
I'm sorry, what is that song?
It's a, like...
It's Danny Boy, but we sang Charlie Boy, because we're that... Fucking clever.
You guys are so cultured. I wish I was more like you guys.
Hooray, white people culture. Oh, Danny boy.
The pipes are going from glen to glen.
I'll take the high road and you take the mean road. I'll be in Scotland before you. Alright, that was unnecessary.
Sing that one more time in Ivor's voice.
I'll be in Scotland and... No. Fuck. You take the... Fuck Ivor's voice.
You take the Ivor.
I'm not your clown.
Hey, fuck you, clown!
Oh, boy.
What else do we have to talk about? This podcast is going swimmingly.
We're going to do throwback stories, but I kind of have to take a leak. This has never happened during a podcast before.
Pause that shit!
All right.
Podcast.
Back in 2 minutes. And we're back. I just burped. It fucking stinks. So.
You stink. Shut up.
I stink.
Sometimes. No. Sometimes. All right. Let's just move along.
Good thing that we started that on a high note. Sorry to fly off the handle like that.
Have you guys been to Buffalo before?
Yeah.
No.
All right, Jeff. I'm going to Buffalo in a week. What do I need to do in Buffalo?
Go. Just like stay in your hotel room and like beat off or something, because Buffalo, you can go to like outlet malls and maybe like find some deals on designer clothing if you're into that.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Like Buffalo is pretty much, it's pretty useless except for shopping, I think. Yeah.
Buffalo.
Buffalo, but I don't know. Take advantage of the exchange rates. There's even though that's even sort of becoming more and more pointless. As
how long do you have to be in the States so you can use the duty free? Is it 48 hours?
3 days? It just changed, didn't it?
I believe it's 48 hours, but it's pretty easy to get away with anyways.
Hmm.
Although, I mean, are you flying down or
taking a bus?
What are you doing in Buffalo? Why?
Dude,
what
you're
is the point of
you're
this?
Probably fine then. I mean, I doubt the cops are listening to this podcast. They're bored.
Any cops are listening to this podcast.
Moe's a big time smuggler.
I will not have. No, but I mean, like,
he's not even from this country. Okay, like we don't even. I don't know about him.
After like 48 hours, you're allowed to take in like one bottle of booze or like one case of beer.
I think it's a liter of
A liter. But I mean, like, when I came back, I brought back like two cases and a bottle. And, like, they're not going to search your car. And even if they do, and even if they find it, that just means you have to pay tax on two of them.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to, like, take it away. They'll just say, like, oh, the tax on this comes to $18, so...
Yeah, and, like, even with that, I think it's still pretty cheap. So, I mean, like, you can get away with just buying as much of the duty-free as you want.
Cool.
Yeah, I actually thought about bringing you back a carton of Marlboros, but then I didn't because I was...
drunk.
No, I was just really tired and didn't feel like putting up with it.
Well, I'm going to the States anyway, so I can just pick something up from there. But no, I'm going to Buffalo because my aunt is going there because she has surgery. And I think there's a clinic in Buffalo called the Mayo Clinic or Mayo Clinic.
Is that in Buffalo?
I think it's in
Buffalo.
That's
like the most like world-renowned clinic. I thought it was for men, though.
Just for men?
The Mayo Clinic is like the, you know, best place for male health or something.
I don't know. That's possible, but the male clinics, I think that's like a pretty big thing, so they probably have...
Oh, it's huge. It's like world renowned.
Yeah, it's not just in the States.
Aspects to it.
Hmm? Yeah.
It's not just in the States, so...
I thought it was just one hospital.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of like brand name for hospitals.
That's possible, too.
I think it's just named after some...
Yeah, it's named after...
Somebody who probably donated
brothers,
a shit ton of money.
No,
or?
They're actually doctors. That's dude. Or... It was either one guy or two brothers, I forget. But yeah, like, some pretty renowned doctors that basically started the Mayo Clinic and did really good work in some field or another. And yeah, now it's pretty world-renowned.
So how come you're going if your aunt's having surgery?
Well,
just there for support, or...
Yeah, it's
are they going to let you into the OR, and...
My mom is going with her as her tag team partner, so... my mom called me up, and she didn't even ask me if I could go to Buffalo. She just called me up and said, okay, when are you coming to Buffalo? Because I'm going to be there. So I had no choice but to say yes, but...
you could still say no.
Your mom is from out of town?
Yeah, my mom and my aunt live in Jordan, so...
Oh, okay.
They're coming from overseas.
It's a bit of a commute.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's not really worth it. You'd see them sometime.
If my family was in Buffalo and they were like... Well, we're going to be in the neighborhood in Buffalo. You'd better come. I'd be like, okay, shut the fuck up. That's like fucking 5 hours from here. But Jordan, I guess, yeah, that's sort of a different story,
it's
really.
A bit longer than 5 hours, yeah. So, I mean, I see your...
I meant driving, I mean, yeah.
But
interesting. Trip to Buffalo. How exciting. Yeah, I've been to Buffalo. I can't really think of very much to do there. Like, it's... So it's like going to like New Jersey or something. It's America, but
go to the Jersey Shore.
The Jersey Shore.
Go to the Buffalo Shore.
You fucking douchebags. I don't even know if that's
Deutsch.
Use guys. Alright, use guys. I don't even know if that's a proper Jersey accent.
Probably not.
Probably not. It's way off.
To any listeners from Jersey, we are very sorry that you're from Jersey, but we can't change it, so move on.
Don't worry, use guys. We'll be alright. Anyways, yeah, so have fun in Buffalo, but Mo is in charge of archiving at the Eye-Opener, which means that if you follow our Twitter and our Facebook... Kai's yawning. This is going well. If I can't sustain the interest of the people in this room, good lord, what am I doing on the internet? But every so often, Mo manages to post an interesting story from the Eye-Opener past. Most recently, like we were talking about the one with all the crimes earlier, but we've actually had celebrity interviews done by the Eye-Opener. I'm not sure when we're going to find a celebrity now. That would be nice.
The next one will be me, as soon as I become a celebrity. That's your best.
He's going to be famous for...
burping.
Smelly James Reddy. Smelly James Reddy burper.
I'm going to be a comedy person. I'm going to do comedy things.
The hell's a comedy person?
Well, you know, just
listen to the fun editor with all that.
People will just laugh at things that I do, and then hopefully pay me.
So wait, so like you'll have a show where you're on a stage, or is it like on TV?
No, it'll be almost exclusively horoscopes.
The horoscope writer of the New York Times.
He's just gonna be like on stage.
Oh,
like,
shit, the all right,
so who was born in July?
All right.
Hey, all right, July people. All right.
Hey, July, fuck you.
Get out.
Look at this guy. But he's a Pisces. That's why he's about to get eaten by wolves.
Anyways,
was anybody ever eaten by wolves in my horoscopes this year? That feels like
there's been bee attacks. There's been
several bee attacks.
Oh my STDs. God.
Some STDs, but I mean, like,
I think somebody got trampled into stampede or something once.
Eaten by wolves just sounds. It's like, how could I have ever missed that one?
I'm pretty sure you
had. Eaten by badgers.
I saw somebody was it on Facebook? They said something to you about somebody's finally using the word douche canoe.
Oh no, douche nozzle. Which is not mine at all.
You didn't come up with that, but douche canoe.
That's just a joke between me and him because I would use the word douche nozzle just because I think I lifted it off Patton Oswalt and I like the word. You know, I didn't have to come up with it to use it, but essentially we had a joke about how we had a campaign to make that a more used word.
Oh, okay.
And he just said that fucking Stephen Colbert just used it on the air the other day, so our campaign is complete.
So, but yeah, if I actually do hear somebody using douche canoe, I'm definitely going to say that...
Douche canoe's not mine either.
Really?
Douche canoe, I got off this crazy, like, my buddy from Alberta, who now lives in BC, I guess he's originally from BC, who, like, used to be a crackhead, and he's just, like, this kind of crazy, like, skater punk dude. And he comes up with little gems like that all the time. So, yeah, douche canoe is one I ripped off of him that I will always use, because it's just a hilarious... bit of language.
Yeah, it's not like it even... I can't even picture the douche canoe, but it's abstract and makes you think of douches and canoes and all things. But I think you used that in a horoscope once. I remember reading a horoscope that said, you know, something, you'll come to the realization that you're just a stupid white douche canoe. That was my horoscope.
Probably something like that. It was probably very little tact or subtlety to some of those horoscopes.
You're a douche canoe. No, it was better than
you're this, a dick bag. Get out of my face.
Don't you have a stand-up show coming up soon?
Yes. I will be at the Crown and Tiger Basement June 12th.
Oh my god, the Crown and Tiger Basement. What a fucking scene that is.
Yeah, but you know, it's just it's a little comedy competition.
Sinatra performed there in 1958. Little known fact.
You mean Billy Sinatra?
You know, the comedian from Scarborough, Billy Sinatra.
That blind kid with Down syndrome. Yeah, the Sinatra.
Emma was like legitimately afraid of this. He was like walking down the stairs, like, where are you leading me? It's just like you just see a set of stairs going to a dark basement, and luckily we heard an MC speaking into it. Otherwise, I was gonna be like, all right, are we going down to like? Is this, you know, the beginning of a snuff film? I walk in, like, okay, what's going on here? And crack on the back of the head. And
that MC was terrible, though. I mean, no offense, he put on a, you know, a good welcoming show.
Part of the MC's job is just to get the audience going. So part of that might be that, like, you guys were all cold, right?
Yeah.
So he has to sort of hit a number of jokes before any of them even start feeling funny.
Okay.
Because it's all very subjective. Like, you might hear one joke one day and think it sucks, and, like, hear it in a different context and think it's awesome. So, like, sometimes even if you're doing really well, if you just follow somebody who sucked, like, you won't be able to get the audience back as far as you want them to be back. Like, the laughter will just be slightly muffled because they were starting from dead cold. Like, laughter rolls.
These are things that I've heard, like, but on the other hand, if somebody absolutely destroys and you have to go on after them, that's also not particularly
ideal. I've never had a problem with that.
Yeah?
I think if the audience is already laughing and you fuck up, you've got nobody to blame but yourself.
See, I've heard a number of comedians complain about that. Like, if somebody comes on, they have the set of their lives, every joke, just people are fucking falling out of their chairs, and then you come up, you've got to sort of live up to
that. Yeah, you might look shitty by comparison, but you'll still get laughs, because they're laughing already. And I mean,
people are already in a good mood.
Maybe I've just been lucky with it, maybe I've done okay, but I mean, I think if you bomb after somebody kills, you were probably fucking something up. That's just my opinion. Like, what do I know? I've done stand-up, like, less than 100 times in my life. So.
I've done stand-up 0 times in my life. I'm just more of a fan of stand-up comedy. I don't participate.
I'm just saying, like, these other people you're talking about saying things might have a lot more experience than I do, so maybe they're right and I'm wrong.
It's all subjective. I mean, different sort of circumstances are going to throw different people off.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a bit of a crapshoot, but luckily it's a lot of fun, even when you suck. Like, even when you bomb, it's sort of just a goofy good time.
So, are you approaching this with any sort of, I don't know how to end that sentence, but you won last time. Is there any sort of pressure to win again?
Are
they going to make a big deal and say, like, oh, this is the reigning champion, Kai Benson?
No, because it's not reigning champion, because I won first in that round, and there was like 25 rounds. I'm probably facing several other winners.
Okay, so this is like the champion of champions.
No, it's just, you know, in the first round there's like 25 rounds, there's 9 people and everything, and there's like 5 rounds to this thing. So it's pretty much the exact same setup as last time. You know, if I'm top 4, I move on, and then we do that 5 times.
Okay.
So like if I get by, like, 3 more rounds, then I'll be in the top 9. And then if I win that one, then I'll be champion. But, I mean, I fucking won't. I'm aiming to get to semifinals this time. If I can get to the semifinals, like, you know, a year into doing comedy, I'll be pretty happy with that.
I've always wondered this. When you're writing your own jokes,
I don't write my own jokes. I just steal them. I exclusively steal from Mad Magazine and Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, and Penn & Oswalt.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I've never stolen from Patton Oswalt.
I saw somebody, one of my friends tweeted at Patton Oswalt, like, have you seen his...
He was about to ask a question!
I'm being assertive, god damn it!
Good, I like that.
All right, he's fine. Being
assertive. I'm gonna be the bigger man here and
continue. The fuck does that mean?
I don't know. But yeah, so when you're writing your jokes, how much do you incorporate, or at least think of, what kind of audience do you have? Like, with this Crown and Tiger thing, it's gonna be mostly people our age. Or at least, you know, 2-3 years older.
But I literally never think of the audience when I'm writing my jokes. Sometimes when I'm telling my jokes, I maybe will use a slightly different delivery, or I'll arrange them in a different way because I think something's not going to work if the audience is really, like, not paying attention or something like that. But mostly, I just want to be myself and do my own thing. Like, if they don't like me for exactly what I want to do, I don't really want them to like me. You know, I just want to do something that's true to myself and very funny, because I think the best comedians are the ones who are literally just like, nobody could do it but them, because they're writing their own personality. Somebody else doing it wouldn't be the same. So I try and do my own personality. I'm probably not very good at it.
Your personality is just not that good.
Yeah, and you know, that's the shitty thing. Many comedians have said that too. Like, it's just, it kind of sucks because in stand-up comedy, like, if somebody doesn't like it, they're just saying, oh, we don't like you.
Yeah, it's a very pure form of rejection, which is why I've never tried my hand at it and never, ever will. I mean, just the thought of standing with a microphone with, like, a light on me and being like, okay, evaluate things I'm going to say. I'll do it from behind a podcast microphone, like, onto the internet and just sort of, like, cower behind a lot of computers and iTunes or whatever, but...
The flip side to that, though, is... I have never felt so good than when I do really well on a set. Because just like the rejection is so harsh and immediate, the...
Applause.
The acceptance is so immediate and, like, they can't take it back. Even if every one of them tells you that they hated you after the show...
It's like later that night, haha, you laughed at me, that means...
If they fucking laughed, they can't take that back, and that means you did good. Not that anybody has ever told me they don't like me after a show. I'm sure some people haven't, but, like, anytime somebody talks to me after a show, it's all been positive.
I can't imagine somebody going up to a comedian after a show and being like, didn't care for it.
You suck,
like,
bro.
Well, why are you wasting your time talking to me even more? Like, if you didn't like the time we spent together, what are you engaging me again for?
Yeah, that's what I do on the weekends, is I go pick fights with stand-up comedians. It's kind of my hobby.
I've heard, like, Adam Carolla will talk about it. Like, people will meet him, and women especially, and they'll go, oh, yeah, my boyfriend, big fan. Me? Couldn't care less about you. But my boyfriend, like, couldn't give a shit about you. But let me just tell you, my boyfriend's a big fan, but I don't like, they go out of their way to say, oh, I'm not a fan. But, yeah, stand-up comedy is so fucking crazy to me.
Oh, man, it's my favorite.
I'm blown away by it. It's my favorite thing.
To do, to watch, to listen to,
if I had any kind of balls, I would maybe try it, but...
See, but I'm not that brave. Guaranteed I'm probably less brave than you, it's just I have such a drive to do it, and I guess I don't even really have that much of a drive. I do it so infrequently, but I have such a love for it that, like, I had to do it eventually. I've been thinking about doing it since I was, like, 15. And it took me till I was 21. It was just like, eventually I was writing so many jokes and thinking about it so often that I'm like, fuck, I have to get on stage or I have to shoot myself.
See, I think that maybe the first step would be the act of writing. Like, I get a big kick out of making people laugh, like, in person, or if I do a radio show or podcast and they go, oh, yeah, that was funny, the thing you said about this. That I like, but, and, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed the thing I did, but... The act of, like, writing it down and stuff.
Well, I think the first step is just thinking in that way. Thinking in a performance type of way, because saying something funny in a conversation is different than saying something funny after a setup. Because the setup is, like, to me anyways, the hardest part of writing a joke. And really, I think I just listen to so much stand-up comedy that I sort of wandered around, just sort of, like, my internal monologue started speaking like a stand-up comedian. And just like, oh, how could I spin this? How does this apply to something? Like, what could this lead to? And of course, it was never any good, but I was just thinking in that way for so long that eventually I got a couple of gems. And then I would start to write them down, and then most of those sucked when they got on paper. But, you know, I wrote down, you know, pages and pages and pages. Eventually I had, like, 5 good minutes. I'm like, well, I'll fucking take this to the show. And I happened to do okay my first time. I will not say I did good, but I did okay.
I'd probably fuck you up if you, like, totally crushed your first time or something, but... If you watch enough stand-up, you do sort of think like that. Like, you think in the pattern of sort of, like...
you start to get those rhythms and stuff going in.
Premise, setup, punchline...
Yeah.
Sort of thing, but...
And it's tough to find your own sort of flow and your own... Because I know at first when I was writing jokes, they'd be my jokes and my words... But they would always have the rhythm of some joke I had already heard.
Everybody does.
And I just couldn't help it. But by now, I've heard so many fucking jokes and so many rhythms that I couldn't even fucking replicate one if I tried. If I write a joke, it's just going to be some weird amalgamation of 75 things.
I'm always very aware of people who are trying their hand at stand-up comedy, but they will adopt the sort of cadence and rhythm of something. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to, like, amateur comedy thing and been like, you're just doing Dave Attell. Like,
I was about to say, or, Dave Attell.
A lot of people will sort of fall into Lewis Black, or they'll sort of just take on the voice of a better comedian because they don't have enough confidence in the way they speak.
I'm actually really happy that I never tried stand-up when I was, like, you know, 15, 18, 19, whatever, because if I did, I would have tried to be Carlin, I would have failed.
Oh, everybody tries to be Carlin.
I would have tried to be Carlin. I would have failed miserably, and I never would have done stand-up again. Because I would have just inherently thought I was bad at it. Just because at that point in my life, I hadn't learned that I did have my own comedic voice. Or maybe I didn't have my own comedic voice yet. I'm sort of the mindset where, like, if I fail something a couple times, I'll just be like, oh, well, I guess I'm not good at it. And I never would have tried again. And it really, that really would have been a loss to me because I'm having so much fun with it now.
Yeah, I'm sure enough kids have, like, a damaging experience. They get up at, like, a high school talent show and they go, hey, everybody, so who's from such and such elementary?
What's the deal with stuff?
People stare at them and they go, oh, God, I've just been, like, My whole personality and everything has just been rejected. I'm just going to go cry in my room for 10 years.
It's funny you should mention it, though, that I've actually recently written a joke that I think is funny, but I don't like because it's too much like Dave Attell, and I'm worried that I'll just deliver it like Dave Attell. And like
who's Dave Attell, sorry?
Dave Attell, he does a lot of, like, short jokes, and they're all, like, really dirty, and it, like, he had a show called Insomniac a while ago. He's a stand-up.
Do you know what he does now? He does a podcast called Dave's Old Porn.
That's not even a podcast. Isn't that a TV show?
They've made it. Have they made it? I think his TV show is on VH1, and it's about metal.
No, Dave's Old Porn is a TV show.
Really? It started as a podcast. So what do you know? Maybe some jackasses will start filming us one day.
Maybe I'm wrong.
We're a podcast, right? But yeah, Dave's Old Porn, and he'll basically sit down like another comedian or a person that he knows, and they'll talk about, like, vintage porn from the 70s and, like, the first time they saw porn and, like, because I guess it's all people old enough before the internet, they'll be like, well, I just was walking through some bushes when I was 12 years old and I found Hustler or whatever, and they'll talk about old porn stars and how women shave their pubic hair these days and I don't much care for that, and I don't know what the hell they talk about. I've never actually heard the podcast more than it's been played on other people's podcasts and such, but yeah, Dave Attell, crazy fucking guy. But a lot of people do adopt his sort of style. He's one of those guys that people just sort of go, oh, that's a good template for me to do comedy from.
Yeah, the sort of, like, drunk, like, ah, I don't really give a shit. Here we go. Like, it's very easy to try to assimilate.
Yeah, you were saying you're writing that joke that was in the vein of Dave Attell?
Yeah, it's, I don't like double standards. Double standards, like if you have sex 5 times in a row in a night, you're a sex machine, you're a god. But if you masturbate 5 times in a row, you get kicked out of Legoland.
That is kind of an Attell sounding joke, but fucking still very funny.
Yeah. Like. Well, I mean, I just delivered it as best I could, like he might. And I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to at least not do that, so I can, like, at least deliver it in more my own way. So I can still just keep it without thinking that I'm trying to be Attell. Because I'm really not trying to be Attell. That's one that I wrote that just
happens to sound like him. See, being Attell, that's one of these crazy things. Like, his whole style was sort of like, he kind of came out in this era when comedians were still wearing sort of sport jackets and ties. And he'd sort of, like, come up like a slob and his whole thing's like, oh, I don't care that much and laugh if you want, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, sort of have that bit of arrogance where I don't need to impress you guys. Sort of thing, so...
Not necessarily. I mean, I guess that's kind of what his air is like, but, you know, I mean, and I also, like, he came up with a lot of other guys that were equally fucked up like that, unless he's way older than I thought.
Oh, Dave Attell's been around for, like, he, you know, would have been around for, like Seinfeld in the New York era.
Yeah, but, I mean, just because Seinfeld's clean doesn't mean fucking everybody was clean back then. I mean, you had Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks was probably the king of not giving a shit when people left his sets.
That was like, yeah, this one
tends
thing,
to clean like, out audiences. So people just stream it out. He keeps going with the joke.
There's a couple guys. There's Bill Hicks and who's the guy that was on the
Sam Kinison?
Sam Kinison, yes. And they had this whole thing down in Texas. And Texas was never a hub for stand-up comedy. Everyone was like, oh, it's New York, it's L.A., there's a Chicago scene, there's a few other places. But, like, down south, there just wasn't that... And then just, like... 5 guys. I can't remember all of them, but it would have been, you know, Bill Hicks and Kinison and this sort of crew down there.
I honestly never cared for Kinison, though. And I never really cared for... I never really cared for Dice Clay.
I've never cared for Dice Clay a lot.
Because they're all just, like, yelling and screaming, and Dice Clay's all...
He's got a cigarette, and...
They weren't that clever.
I've got gloves on, but no fingers. Cut off.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, Bill Hicks was, he was a lot closer to Carlin in how, like, how clever he could be, even though a lot of the time he was too much of a downer.
Well, his bits on, like, when drugs and, when he was funny, God, he was the best. Stuff.
It's just, there was a lot of other shit in there that was a little less, a little less entertaining, but still always very interesting to listen to. I love Bill Hicks, actually. I can't listen to him too much anymore because he's kind of a downer.
Yeah, some of it is. Like, he could just end the show by being like, so, we're all completely fucked. Good night! Like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Our lives are meaningless. Well, honey, let's go home, I guess.
Well, actually, no, he would usually try and be... He could be, like, positive, but in a negative way. Like, he had some special, I think it was Revelations, something like that. Like,
and Revelations was an interesting set, because he would end on a positive note. He was just like, and we're all beautiful beings and people, and we can do whatever we
this
want
is what
if
I was
we just tried.
About.
And he'll leave it on, like, this really flowery, beautiful, inspirational note after he's, like, brought you down to, like, we're just shitty animals that, like, we're fucked and we're no smarter and there's no God. Anybody will be like, we can do anything at the very end. It's kind of amazing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, there was always that positivity because, I mean, the reason he was angry is that we're capable of so much more than the bullshit that we do. But I think Revelations was the one where he ends on that, like, well, let's give up war and just, like, explore space together. But so much of that set had been about, like, how anybody who tries to improve the human condition just gets fucking, like, assassinated or something. And then he actually, like, fakes getting assassinated at the end of that show. And then, and then the DVD ends. And yeah. It's just like, what the fuck, man? This is a comedy show.
But he really does, like, leave you on something to think about. Like, if we took all the money that we were spending on these foreign wars and threw it into the space program, who knows what we could accomplish? And, like, I'll sort of walk away thinking about that, like, holy shit.
Oh, well, that's still absolutely true.
If just sunk all those trillions of dollars.
Neil deGrasse Tyson still carrying that flag. The,
space exploration, like, literally trillions of dollars into, like, exploring space and doing all these crazy things, then who knows what we could accomplish.
This is what I've been thinking about the other, recently, though, is, like, you know how there's the military-industrial complex, which is, like, you know, weapons manufacturers lobbying the government to support war, to pay for more weapons, grows itself. Why can't you have different industrial complexes? Why couldn't you have a science industrial
complex? I'd like an educational industrial complex.
Exactly.
Where the
makers of fucking quality textbooks and science instruments lobby to get more educational funding for schools, which makes people smarter, which makes them believe in education more.
Yeah, if we could do the same thing like the military industrial complex, the whole idea is that... you know, war perpetuates weapons manufacturing,
exactly.
Which employs people,
exactly.
And they need to keep their jobs, so we need to start more wars to keep that industry going. And
it's essentially...
Why can't we snowball something good for once?
Yeah, it's essentially just lobbyists paying for themselves. So why can't you do that in any industry?
Goddamn.
I'm sure there's probably a lot of reasons why, and just because... Just in the same way that there's a lot of reasons... why we should be in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, I'm not saying that we should, I'm just saying that there are reasons that you could argue. So it's all more complex than it, you know, than I might be looking at it, but it's still interesting to think about.
Indeed. wow. That conversation went on a huge comedy tangent, but one thing I kind of want to talk about is social networking. Yeah, I know that you do a lot of your jokes or you're posting on Twitter.
Yeah,
or
I'm
Facebook.
Trying to do that recently.
And how's the response, like, going for that? Are people retweeting you? Is that...
Not as much as I'd like, but, like, the people that are actually paying attention to me seem to enjoy it. And by people, I mean, like, one or two that are friends with me. But I mean, like, you know, some people that I trust to be, like, comedy connoisseurs tend to say I'm going in the right direction. So I think I'm just going to keep trying to do it until, you know, some more people look at it. I'm not really too concerned with Twitter. Mm. It's just another venue that I want to be funny in. I don't really care how far it goes.
Do you use Twitter mainly or Facebook as well?
In what capacity?
In terms of just like trying out jokes or...
Jokes, I usually go Twitter because that just seems to be the... that seems to be where people post jokes. And it's also a place where I can get, you know, followers that maybe aren't my friends. Honestly, I don't care either way. But yeah, Twitter's kind of where I'm going these days. Hmm.
Yeah, you know what? I've been trying to tweet more and more. I think I want to be a Twitter person. I feel like for job interviews and shit in journalism or whatever, they will sort. Oh well, don't just yeah. I know you have a separate Twitter account for professionalism. Yeah,
except my professional one has 50 tweets that I haven't used in 2 years, and if they look me up, they're gonna see my one with a whole bunch of fucking really, really dark shit.
See, you've gone that way.
Like, the one you use now?
No, I'm saying the one I use now is the one that employers will find.
Okay.
But
when they look at it, there will be zero things having to do with the news.
Yeah.
And everything having to do with, well, I guess my last two tweets were jokes about the news, which is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've been trying to balance the two, which like I'll be like, oh, this is funny, and I'll tweet that, and then I'll be like, it still says like online editor at the Eye Opener in it, so I'm like, well, I don't want to be talking on behalf of meh. And then you have to sort of put in your bio like all opinions expressed are my own or whatever. Yeah, I've been trying to get more into Twitter and tweeting more often, and I don't know, it's been a trying experience trying to figure out relevant stuff but interesting stuff, and you know, things that maybe an employer would like. I've got my mom creeping my Twitter. She's not on Twitter, but she just looks it up on the internet and reads everything I've done and sends it to me in an email.
I find it amazing how you can have the most ridiculous and outrageous Twitter account, but have a much larger audience than someone who posts relevant and actual news.
People don't want relevant and actual news, like stupid people get massive Twitter followings.
Stupid people, but there's also very smart people that just don't happen to be relevant, because entertainment is, a lot more palatable and a lot more widespread than news is, especially since you can get news from fucking everywhere, and there's really only a few places you can get really, really top-notch comedy from, especially since, you know, it's all taste-based and stuff like that. But yeah, it is weird how really stupid people that don't add anything to any sort of conversation do have a lot of followers.
I'm going to put a picture of a hot chick as my profile picture.
And see if it changes anything.
You'll probably get deleted as a spam bot.
I get so many of those like people following me that are
half
just
my followers. Most of my
followers are like prostitutes or people trying to steal my information.
Okay, what are they doing?
I don't know what they're doing.
What exactly are spam bots doing on
there's
Twitter?
There's nothing valuable about my Twitter account.
I'm not following any of them. None of them have ever interacted with me in any way. Like,
some of them send you links, and they're just promotions for
Well, yeah, I've gotten
well, that. It'll just, sometimes some of them they'll just tweet you. At you, and it'll just be a link. Yeah. And I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm going to click on that. What do you think? I'm an idiot? Like, I don't know what that is and where you're... Like, if somebody sends you just a link and you don't know them, you'd be an idiot to click on this.
Well, most of them are just links, but a lot of them are I guess, personal, so it'll say something like, hey, Jeff, check this link out. I think you'd really like it. And it's like, you know.
Oh, you got
me. Enlarge your penis.
Oh, I almost blew, like, this would be, during my time as online editor at the Eye Opener, I almost fucked up colossally because somebody tweeted me something that said, hey, Jeff, online editor or something, and it said, look what these people are saying about at the Eye Opener. And like a dumbass, I click it. And what it takes me to is a screen that looks like the login page for Twitter, except it's off by like a little few details. And I started, it was like, ah, crap, I got logged out. So I honestly started typing in our username and password. I was like, about to click this. I'm like, oh no.
God damn it, Jeff, you're the online editor. You're supposed to be the one who's good at
you
stuff.
You bastards. I was this close, dude. Or just, like, completely ruining our Twitter account.
You fool!
Anyways, how I've been enjoying myself the last few days, yesterday, I made a Twitter account for my mom that I now control.
Really?
Since she started snooping my tweets, I've made a Gene Logger, at Gene Loggerquist follower. I want to get her as popular as...
You control it?
Yeah, yes, why do you control it?
Because I made it. And I'm just, because she looks at my tweets, and I'm just going to start retweeting things that say, at Gene Loggerquist, on my Twitter. So she'll see herself next time she creeps my tweets, and it's going to blow her mind away because she's completely
What you should do is...
into the social networking.
Is if you see her at any time, just listen to what she says and then tweet it.
Oh, I've done this. I talked to her on the phone today.
Shit my dad says.
I literally did, like, she was like, oh, a robin is building its nest on the, you know, thing under our deck. And I literally tweeted about that, like, hashtag nature. And I did all these things, like, I followed Oprah. I followed some of her friends on Twitter. So it looks very, it has a picture of her that I took and everything on it. And yeah, she's going to enjoy this. It's going to blow her mind. And that'll teach her to creep.
Well, I'm sure that's going to be very popular in the Knows Your Mom demographic, which is pretty huge.
You guys are going to want to follow my mom, especially when it's me.
High five? Can you get a high five?
This is the fun editor here.
So you said at Gene Allen?
At Gene Lagerquist. It's L-A-G-E-R-Q-U-I-S.
Gene Simmons?
Yes. Gene Simmons is my
mom. Your mom is Richard Simmons?
Yes. Okay?
Podcast.
I have to go. Podcast. Oh, Charles. Where are you tonight? Goddamn. Anyways, we are getting past the hour mark with this podcast.
Yeah, but most of it's bullshit. Let's keep
going. Yeah, most of it is bullshit. Some things we wanted to talk about. Kevin Smith, Kenny Hotz, these interviews. We probably should get into more of that later.
Did we talk to Kevin Smith?
The Eye-Opener talked to Kevin Smith.
When did we do that?
Ages ago.
In 2005, the fun editor,
Cornelius
Peabody IV.
Here's what not to do as fun editor, okay? This is advice for you. He got the chance to talk to Kevin Smith, all right? So what he does is he goes to... Roy Thomson Hall.
He
starts the first 200 words in the article saying how he had to go find Roy Thomson Hall.
I looked up R. Thompson in the phone book and blah, blah, blah. And he actually got to interview Kevin Smith. Yeah. Kevin Smith gave him some of his time and he asked him like fucking 5 questions. All of them are relevant. And what was this guy's name again?
Was this fun editor not a journalist, though? Because that's a possibility.
I'm not sure what program he was in, but the interview really had 2 questions and they were about Degrassi.
See, I'm features editor Kai Benson. I know how to track down Kevin Smith.
If you get Kevin Smith, ask him more than two questions.
Ask him the important stuff, like about Maple Leaf
Kevin Gardens. Smith is always on Twitter, so
how do you feel about our Image Arts building just getting completed, Kevin? Also, I really like Dogma. Dogma is fantastic.
I'm totally going to get high with Kevin Smith. That would be my goal. That guy smokes so much weed now.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty funny.
His advice was, don't smoke weed until you're 35 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
And
it's a little too late for that. Yeah. I've already fucked that up.
Speak for yourself.
Right.
Because Mohammed has never smoked weed. No, he actually hasn't.
I will totally attest to that.
Jeff smokes so much fucking weed, it's a wonder he's not just...
I love it that you'd never know. Most of the time you'd never know.
Yeah. I don't think I would've.
I think you mastered it. We can't really tell anymore.
Yeah, really. Yeah. See, I like that. I can do it stealthy.
He smoked his way through to the other side.
You gotta tell
it's beautiful
Charles.
Over here. All right, do we have more things to say? Is this a podcast? Can we call it a...
I think we can call it a podcast.
Oh, it is so fired. It's almost midnight.
Is it?
Yeah.
Christ.
Wow, we sure did get through this without Charles.
He was just dead weight anyways.
God, I've been, carrying him on these radio shows and podcasts for ages.
Charlie, we don't need you anymore. Yeah, I said it. Fun editor out.
Fun editor out. Drops the podcast, Mike. Please don't drop the podcast, Mike. It's the only podcast mic we have. I mean, it's the only equipment that actually keeps us going. With our massive eye-opener budget. Recording live from the eye-opener studios. I want people to picture that we have, like, a big studio with a lot of, like, blinking lights. I'm sitting behind a huge console with this big, impressive mic, but...
We have a door in the office. Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I guess that's a podcast.
We have a dictionary.
Mm-hmm. And I'm totally not using it for a beer coaster right now. So I guess that's the podcast. We're going to be back. We're going to keep doing podcasts regularly. We've got North by Northeast coming up. All these fun things. I kind of have the hiccups now from drinking soda.
Soda, yes. Make sure to subscribe to the Eye-Opener podcast on iTunes, and
follow us at the Eye-Opener on Twitter. I mean, we did a pretty kick-ass job, I would like to say, of covering the shooting today. Yeah. Well, as far as student newspapers go, I think we pretty much knocked that out of the fucking park. Where you at, Ryersonian?
Well, actually, I don't want to say this, but I have to know. Brian Bintin Trin is an intern at the Huffington Post, and he was at the Ryersonian last semester. And the star used pretty much all his tweets today.
Oh.
So, Ryersonian 1, eye opener 2.
Follow at Kai Benson for funny things. Sometimes. Usually not, but you know.
Mostly terrible things.
At Jeff Lagerquist for
terrible and funny.
Stupid ass things I think of. And at Gene Lagerquist for me tweeting in the voice of my mother.
And follow me at Sean Wetzelaar for all your news about happy things like flowers.
And arts and life. Oh, Sean Wetzelaar.
What's Charles' Twitter handle?
Does Charles tweet?
At Charles's Balls.
We should start that.
We should just like have a Twitter that is...
Oh, man. I was just introduced the other day to this hilarious...
Sackcast. This Charles's Balls podcast.
This Twitter account, it's called like Coffee Dad or something. And it's literally every single tweet is just like, going to get some coffee, enjoying some coffee. Coffee's good. Coffee. And it's just like 400 tweets like that. And in the middle of it, it's just one driving down the road where my son lost his life and I lost everything. It's
oh God.
So beautiful. Just so much patience for one
That's
hilarious
commitment.
Joke.
That's
So follow that too. And on that note, we will see you in a couple days next week. Goodbye now. Podcast.
Oh,
I'm Jeff Lagerquist. Look at me.
Seriously, Coffee Dad is so funny.